Now, O Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you. Amen. I picked a little different reading from Genesis for today's sermon, and I will read it to you. Genesis chapter 22. After all these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went up to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid wood in order and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his knife, a hand, and took the knife to slaughter his son. But an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven above, said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket with his, by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offsprings as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Thus the word of the Lord. Where does one start when thinking about these passages? One only could wonder why God was testing Abraham in this horrific way. And sometimes, for that matter, why does God test anyone? In 1 Peter, we find that answer. Peter, speaking through the Holy Spirit, is telling us about having faith, and especially in our salvation, and he writes, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor of Jesus Christ." Scripture tells us of many other tests of faith. We recall the stories of Job, of Daniel, the lion's den, his friends, the fiery furnace, Joseph being sold into slavery, suffering in Egypt, Paul, who was suffered with an eye, we think it was a cataract, or the pain that was always with him. Peter, who denied Christ and suffered for that too. And I'm sure you can think of many times in your life you've been pained too. The point of this, of all this, is if we follow Christ, we will have tests in our lives. In this season of Lent, let us remember some will come from Satan, and there are the that are meant to destroy us and take our faith from us. But some are also from God, who uses these tests to strengthen our faith and to surround us. Luther, speaking of such trials, says this: "I have passed through unspeakable trials, trials in which no creature was able to counsel me. I have passed through trials of such nature that I thought no one on earth had ever had them before. I have endured temptation just as great as did St. Paul. There would never have been any remedy or advice or difficulties so great or temptations so grievous if Christ had not come and opened the Bible for me to advise and comfort me with his word." So you see, there is relief when you have trials. Again, these words are so full of so many things you can look at. Secondly, what caught my eye was these passages: "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." Now, I have four sons, and I don't know how I could sacrifice one or even bear to lose one. I know people that have lost children, and I cannot understand how they have such great faith. Praise be to God. I want you to note that God is very detailed in these instructions. We note that Abraham is to take your son, the only son you love. Now, Abraham had another son, Ishmael, but the promise comes through Isaac, and that's who God asked to be sacrificed. Recalling that Abraham had been promised many heirs, it seems strange, even very strange, almost like God's changing his mind or changing his word. But note that Abraham did not argue one bit, did not discuss it with anyone. He just makes all the preparations necessary to fulfill God's command. How often do we rebel or question or try to dismiss God's commands? How often do we put other things before God's words? Examples would be, "I'm just too tired to go to church today. I don't want to take the children or grandchildren to catechism or Bible school. They have other activities they enjoy more. I just don't want to talk to my family members about my faith and what it means to me." I fall in the same category. Lord, have mercy on us all. As we read, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son," we are reminded of the wooden cross and the one who bore it for our sins. When we read, "Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son." Here too we see there was a sacrifice, there had to be a sacrifice made, and it was just as God ordered. However, because of his love, God was spared Isaac, and a substitute was in his place. How can we not see how God has loved us and sent his only begotten son, the one he loved, to be sacrificed to the law that was required, the law that has condemned us all to eternal death and demands a blood sacrifice to fulfill? One cannot read these words and marvel at Abraham's faith. Hebrews says this about Abraham's faith. Hebrews 11, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he whom he was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." In other words, God can do it all. God can do everything. And Abraham had that faith. If we're suffering from some difficulty, sometimes we don't believe that that anybody else can help us, turn your eyes to God.
and he will send help. I'm here to tell you today that in this very church, you can find everything to have a faith just as strong or stronger than Abraham's, a faith to believe in that same promise that Abraham believed, and that is that Christ died for your sins. Here in Concordia, you have a baptismal fount in which you can always, in which you were first wrapped in God's love, and never forget that. Always look to your baptism. And then, here also, you can confess their sins that are hurting you, your heart, and receive assurance that God forgives them. Here you can feed your faith with the words that he has given us, and on his true body and blood, you can strengthen your faith too. There are many other things we could see in these passages. This just goes on forever and ever, and I know we don't want to do that. So, but just a few things that I noticed, you know, it's just, you know, here I am. Where else have we heard that, you know, often? You're my son, the only son I love. Where else did you hear that in the scripture? This is so full of the promise of Christ's salvation for us. It is just remarkable. I encourage you all to read it and study it. And now, may our Father, who has sent his Son for our salvation, may Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, and may the Holy Spirit keep our hearts and minds with a strong faith that we can eagerly share with our family, friends, and neighbors. Amen.